to return to the scripture that we looked at last Wednesday night, look at it from a little different angle. 1 Timothy chapter 2, if you will, please. And as you are turning there, I want to remind you, there's an overarching truth or principle regarding Christian living. And that is simply this, and you've heard it before. We as believers are in the world, but we are not to be of the world, right? We're in the world, but not of the world. In fact, when Jesus prayed for us, he said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. This is Jesus' prayer there in John 17. Getting back then to 1 Timothy chapter 2, I would say this, that one of the most important functions that we have as believers, and especially in the area of prayer, is what we learn here and what we are instructed in that first and second verse of this chapter of 1 Timothy 2. And that is simply this. We have an obligation given us by God to pray for our leaders. It's very clear where he says, I exhort that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, including for kings and for all that are in authority. Two things make this passage especially pertinent to us tonight. Currently, the condition of our city, of our state, of our nation, you might say the world, and also the current election that is coming up next Wednesday. That makes this passage really stand out in my thinking. And I want to say something about the election. I really believe that we as Americans have a unique opportunity for free and fair elections. Now, I know that there can be gerrymandering that can take place. Understand that. But I really believe that as believers, we should put aside any partisan politics. And when we vote, we should vote based upon moral principle. We should vote based upon the fact that here is a candidate that most lines up with the morals that I learn in my Bible. Believers should not vote for people that believe in the killing of babies that is called abortion. And it's given a euphemism pro-choice, right? We should be not voting for candidates that are for abortion. That's against the morals of the Bible. That's against the principles of a Christian. We should not be voting for candidates that stand for all of this gender dysphoria, that want that kind of pornography and perversity taught in our classrooms across this nation. We should not vote for candidates that support that kind of stuff. We should not be voting for people that stand for things that are clearly against the morals of the Word of God. So keep that in mind. Don't look at yourself as a Republican or a Democrat or an independent or a conservative or a libertarian or whatever label a person might label themselves as. But look at yourself as a believer in Jesus, a Bible believer, and vote a biblical conscience and not anything else. That's really important for us as believers. Now, I want to have a word of prayer, and then I want to look at these four verses as quickly as I can and talk about praying for politicians. You pray for them? I hope that after we're done this evening, you will if you haven't. Heavenly Father, would you guide our thoughts tonight? Would you show us from the scripture and instruct us as to what you would have us to see? And would you speak to our hearts and make these truths so clear that they'd be unmistakable, and that we would be people that would really be Bible-based, and that we would not merely be in the habit of politicizing or politicking or criticizing, whatever it might be, but rather people that pray for our leaders, just as the Bible instructs us here. Holy Spirit of God, guide us, and may Jesus be exalted, because we ask it for his sake. Amen. So we're in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and looking specifically at the first four verses this evening. And the first thing that I want you to see in verses 1 and 2, I've already read verse 1 and the first part of verse 2, and that simply leads me to my first point, and that is that we have a God-given responsibility to pray for politicians. We have a God-given responsibility to pray for our leaders. In fact, it is a primary responsibility of believers to do so. He says that in verse 1, I exhort that first of all, it's a primary responsibility that we have to pray for our leaders, to pray for our local leaders, our state, our national. We have a civic responsibility before God to do this, to be concerned about those that are over us. And we do that mostly in prayer. You and I have a responsibility before God. I think we're going to answer for this, because this is something that God tells us he wants us to do. You and I have a responsibility to regularly pray for those who hold public office on all levels, in our city, in our state, in our nation, and even internationally, world leaders. And so I just want to ask you a question as we begin to think about this tonight. Are you taking this seriously? Are you taking care of business in this area beyond paying your taxes, beyond obeying the law? We have an obligation to pray for our leaders as they carry out their office, and to pray for them whether we feel or know them to be good or bad, to pray for them even if they are evil, because it was an evil emperor that was over the Roman Empire when this scripture was written. A dictator. So someone that persecuted the church. And yet we're told to pray for them. We're to pray for even the worst leaders that we can think of. No one, none of them are out of the scope of our responsibility to pray for them. So point number one, we have a God-given responsibility to pray for politicians, to pray for our leaders, for all those that are in authority. Look at verse 2 again. It says, for kings and for all that are in authority. People that are in authority have influence. May I suggest to you that they are in that position of influence because God allowed them to be there, or God even placed them there? They have God-given influence. Public officials, they wield far-reaching influence. Their decisions affect the church. Their decisions affect our city. Their decisions affect our nation and even world affairs. But who allowed them to be put in that position to begin with? Listen to this. This is Psalm 75. And these are some incredible verses when you think about it. But it says, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Isn't that amazing? And it doesn't say whether they're good or bad. But listen to this verse. This is in Daniel chapter 2, and I'm reading from verse 21. And it says, that God, he removeth kings and setteth up kings. He removeth kings and he setteth up kings. And the same prophet Daniel says in chapter 4 and verse 17 these words, "The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men." Basest means the lowest. So we are to pray. We have a God-given responsibility to pray for all that are in authority, and realizing that they have God-given influence. The hands of even wicked leaders, of corrupt officials, I believe can be held back by your believing prayer. And I think if we neglect to pray for our leaders, that that might be the reason why the church has a minimal voice in the world. I think that prayer can actually influence the course of world events. I believe that when Proverbs 21:1 says that the heart of the king is in the hand of God, and he turns the king's heart as rivers of water whithersoever God wills, I think that our prayers can influence world events, the course of world events. Do you believe that? That's what I draw from the scripture. So we have a God-given responsibility to pray for politicians, recognizing that they have God-given influence, and they use that influence either in a good way or a bad way, and we can have a part in the way that they rule and lead us. Here's a, I think the rest of the time, in the rest of verse 2 down through verse 4, we have here a God-given purpose for praying for these people. Here is the God-given purpose. It begins in the latter part, the second part of verse 2, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Here in these verses, God shares his rationale why we should pray for leaders. Why praying for our politicians is of first importance. And number one is because they are in authority, because they have such influence. We should pray for them to lead correctly. Pray for them to lead correctly. Politicians and leaders have a tremendous responsibility, a burden. Whether they recognize it or not, they have a tremendous burden of responsibility upon them. And it's necessary that you and I learn to pray for them more than we criticize them. I think we criticize more than we pray. And I don't think that we have any right to criticize them if we don't pray for them. We're to pray for our leaders that they might, first of all, I think that God would protect them, that they would have personal safety. We've seen some of them assassinated through the years. I think we should pray for our leaders that they would have vision to take the people that they lead in the right direction. That they would make decisions based upon not human wisdom, but divine wisdom, God's wisdom. I think we should pray that our politicians and our leaders, that they have a fear of God brought before their eyes, that they have a reverence for the Bible. We can pray that for them, and we should. That they would have both the humility and the courage to admit when they are wrong, and then to actually change their position and the direction. But most importantly, according to that fourth verse, we should pray for them that they might be saved. I think sometimes we get so disgusted and so angry with our leaders that we don't want them to be saved. We want them to burn in hell. We don't care about their eternal soul. And that's wrong. That's a total wrong attitude. That's too much of patriotic nationalism and not enough spiritual heart for the things that burdens God's heart. So, here's the purpose God gives us to pray for our politicians, that our leaders would lead correctly. And secondly, in that second verse, we should pray for them so that believers live godly. You see what it says there? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty or dignity. That we might lead a quiet and peaceable life, stillness and tranquility, respect and dignity. We should pray so that to create a climate of peace that is marked by godliness in our lifestyle. Christians should pray so that they create a climate in which godliness permeates, in which their godly lifestyle can be accentuated and can grow in their culture and their community. Look at verse 3. Here's another God-given purpose for praying for our politicians. And here he says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. The Savior is pleased when we pray for politicians. God's pleased when we pray, and it creates a climate of godliness as a result. It brings peace and tranquility. It pleases God when you pray for your leaders to lead correctly. It pleases God when you pray and it offers an opportunity, opens up the door for godliness to permeate a city or a culture or even a neighborhood. It pleases God because that's how he gets his will done on earth. It's through the prayers of God's people that moves others and that moves obstacles and that gives feet and blessing to the gospel. That's how he rescues the perishing. It all stems back to prayer. And then the fourth reason, and probably the greatest here in that fourth verse, is you should pray for politicians, you should pray for your leaders, for the gospel to be received widely, because he would have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. I think that's the main reason why we're to pray for politicians, so that the gospel can be received widely, to facilitate the spread of the good news. It's right to pray for tranquility and quiet living that is free from outward disturbance and inward perturbance, because a time of peace provides a minimal hindrance to the spread of the gospel. And godly living presents an opportunity to gospelize, and that results in people being saved. And that's the purposes for praying for politicians. Earnest prayers cannot stop the judgment of God when the cup of sin is full. It's going to be poured out. God always works consistent with himself. But we are called here to pray for leaders, and we should pray for this election. It's essential that we create a culture in which the gospel flourishes, and we can do that through prayer, that the gospel and God's redemptive plan can continue to be effective and move forward. Now, let me balance that with these familiar verses in the 118th Psalm, he says this: it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. We warn ourselves not to put confidence in the people that we vote for, in the people that are in office over us. We don't put confidence in them. And the next verse, he establishes it even clearer. He says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes or in rulers or people that are in authority. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in politicians. And you can put confidence in the Lord by doing it through prayer for politicians and your leaders and praying for fair elections, to vote for people that are most in line with the morals of this book, the Bible. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in rulers, in politicians, whoever they might be. I could give you examples of world affairs that were altered as a result of God's people praying at a certain time. I could point to actual accounts of God's people praying specifically during some of the major battles of World War II, for example, and their specific prayers being answered and God turning the tide of evil and bringing victory as a result. I'm telling you, I don't think that we've really scratched the surface of what it means to pray for politicians, to pray for leaders, for pray for kings, the Bible says, and for all that are in authority on every level of government. I don't believe that we really understand the power that God gives to us when he commands us. This is a God-given responsibility. He's given these people his ability to influence. They are put in those places by him, whether they are good or evil leaders. They have God-given influence, and we can impact their influence through our prayers. We have four purposes for praying for those leaders given in those verses. Now, what do you think about that? Better yet, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to ignore it? Are you going to say, oh, yeah, nice, sure? Or are you going to start taking the responsibility to pray for leaders seriously? Because you and I, as believers, will give an account for everything that we know that God has taught us and instructed us in his word. He's going to hold us accountable. We are going to give an account for this. And so I'm just saying, you should do something about this if you aren't already, and take seriously the responsibility that God gives us to pray for those that are over us if you're not. And if you are, keep doing it. See what God will do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you this evening for the power of prayer. Lord, you would not tell us to pray for these powerful individuals if our prayers had no weight at all. Lord, you want us to pray your mind, to know your mind, and to pray your will to be done on earth. And if that's going to happen, then it's going to include praying for our leaders, praying for politicians, praying for people that are in authority over us. That's how you get your will done on earth, through the prayers of your people that include this. And God, I pray that as we face these elections coming up, that we just wouldn't choose people that follow a party line, that we wouldn't be partisan like that, but rather we would choose those that most clearly are in line with what the Bible teaches, that we would want to put people in that stand for what is morally right and have nothing to do with candidates that are pushing moral wrong and corrupting our children and corrupting our society with their perversity. Lord, we just thank you for the clear teaching of your word and pray now that these things would be put into practice in our daily prayer lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.